America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our next guest is Josh Turiel, the Salem City Councilor from Ward 5, is an incumbent and seeking re-election. Josh, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Glad to be there.
We usually start with a new guest and give us a 2 or 3 minute bio, and then we can get into some questions about the work you've done on the City Council as well as the upcoming race.
Okay. Well, I'm a 27-year Salem resident. I'm a professional IT consultant and a amateur politician.
Okay.
That's the simplest version of the bio. I run a tech company based out of here and work all over the region. I've been on the city council for 6 years now, winning my first one election in 2011. And I'm married and have a high school sophomore.
Oh, great. That's wonderful. What city councils tend to be, by charter, a check and balance to a city mayor? Kim Driscoll is your current mayor. How is that tension, if you will, of institutional rivalry or a check and balance, how does that work? Do you find it works smoothly, or is there more tension at certain times in Salem? And tell us about that.
Well, I think some of that varies based on the size of the city, the nature of the city, and the like. I think in Salem, for the most part, the mayor is the executive who runs the city. She runs the departments. She is the person primarily responsible for everything. Our job is to be a check on the finances, a source of ordinances. And I refer to the role of city councilor, at least in my view, especially a ward councilor like I am, as we're like the ombudsman for the citizens in our neighborhood.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, working as a ward councilor,
sure.
How does, I know in Gloucester, for example, and it's not written down anywhere, but in Gloucester, the ward councilors have often been the nuts and bolts people. If the sewer, the catch basin is clogged up, if the trash doesn't get picked up that day or didn't get picked up on time, the street didn't get plowed, the water pressure is, you know, those kind of issues. Is that the way it works in Salem? And tell us about that.
Well, that's pretty much the way I think of the role. Like I was saying, we're the ombudsman of the neighborhood, really. So our job is to be the people we're the people who run point. If you do have a problem, if there's a development issue on your corner, if there's a clogged drain, if there's a trash pickup missing, if there's a tree that needs to get trimmed or a sidewalk that needs to get repaired or a pothole, we're the guys who usually hear about it first. And I do think that that's a pretty valuable role, because government to a lot of people is kind of big and confusing and indifferent, and somebody needs to be the advocate for the people who live in the neighborhood. And I think that's our primary role, besides the role we have in being part of the city government as a whole.
Great. Okay. The change in marijuana law has...
Mm-hmm.
Certain impact issues for cities and towns in terms of permitting, in terms of zoning, in terms of enforcement, and some other impact issues. How is that being dealt with in Salem? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in Salem, remember, Salem was the first community in Massachusetts to open a medical marijuana dispensary. And we have another one at the moment that actually is looking to hopefully... They hope to put one in my ward on Canal Street, and they're working with neighbors and right now to try and see if they can get consensus behind that before the city chooses to back them or not. I know they're the same people who were looking at something up in your town, and I guess when in your town it didn't go as well for them, another company was picked, and now they're suing everybody at hand. I'm trying to look at that as, with a even hand on this one. But marijuana as a whole was something that Salem voted very strongly in favor of, both medical and recreational. I don't really have any problem with it. It's something that you know, I don't recall, well, as far as I can tell, when I open up my windows, I'm pretty much the only person in my neighborhood that doesn't smoke it nowadays.
Okay.
But, you know, it's something like most people. I'm 51 years old. When I was in my early 20s, I smoked it. Most of the people I knew did, and I lost interest in it probably 25, 30 years ago, close to. But it's, you know, it's something I've never really had a problem with. It's, from a sales perspective, I want us to have some standards for where we choose to allow recreational sales to happen. I don't want to zone it out of the city entirely or anything like that. I think that would be kind of silly. But I'd like to see some concern for possible impact locations. Really, I want to treat it like I'd be treating another package store that wants to open up.
Okay.
I think that's mainly the approach in this city so far. There are people who are absolutely dead set against it, and there are people who would love to see a dispensary on every corner, and I think most of the city generally favors it, but it's somewhere in the middle.
Sure, that's great. What is the role social media plays for you in other candidates that are seeking election, re-election, and what is it, to what extent do you and do others deploy its use in responding to the constituency and the citizens?
Well, this is the one part where I can toot my own horn a little bit. I came into office, as I mentioned, in 2011, and that was kind of when a sea change was starting to happen in the use of social media. When I first came on board, I was basically the only city councilor that first term of mine who was using social media to any serious extent to communicate with constituents. I originally used it as an easy campaign method, and I post frequently. I have about 800 or so regular viewers of my Facebook page and some more on my website and about 500 people on my email list. And I use those tools to try and make sure people stay informed. It's something that I think is really, really important. You know, again, it gets to so many people see government as a black box. And I want the mystery taken out of it for most people. I want you to be able to see, like, okay, this is what your city government does. These are the issues we're dealing with. These are the things we have to vote on. This is what I'm thinking and why I'm thinking it, but I'd like to hear what you guys all have to say. And it's a really good interactive tool like that. And then there's issues I'd like to use it to get discussions going on.
Great. I know that your incumbent mayor, Kim Driscoll, is an avid user of social media, and I've often wondered if she and the Gloucester mayor have a contest of who can post the most, or if they see each other's post and if they inspire each other to post more things. But usually, if Sathathi, the mayor, or Mayor Thakin posts something, within minutes you're going to get a Facebook message that Kim posted something, and it just may happen to be that I'm subscribed to those two people among others, and it works out that way. But they certainly make good use of it, and I'm sure it helps when there's a water main breaks or it's a fire or there's a this or that.
And we don't have Ricotta Man here in Salem, so
yeah,
like you guys have up there. So we don't get to promote Ricotta Man showing up, among other things. So.
Okay. What city websites are a standard now, I guess, showcasing what a city has to offer, drawing people to the services that a city provides, and that creates a certain demand for being updated and being current. How would you rate the city's performance doing that? And are there areas that you think that it could either their work ethic could be expanded or improved, et cetera?
Well, we have our current website has been online for a little over a year, I believe, if I have my timeline correct. The system that we have now is a big improvement on our old one. It's easier for the individual departments to manage and post. There's generally a mindset in our government, and I think in most governments, that the more information you put online and the more data you put online, the better it is for citizens. We're pretty good about it. We have some departments that sometimes lag in posting information. Usually when it's things like having to do write-ups of minutes and stuff like that that take employees in the department a decent amount of time to do before they even put it online. That tends to be our biggest shortcoming in that, and it's the case, I think, in a lot of communities. Commissions and boards have issues with that. So I don't think any city in town or town really gets that completely right, and Salem's no exception. But overall, we're pretty good at getting information to people. We use our reverse 911 system for alerts to neighborhoods and to very targeted areas. So overall, communications-wise, I think the city does a pretty good job. Not everybody takes advantage of it, unfortunately.
Well, I noticed, I've spent some time on most of the city websites, six or eight of them that we're focusing our election coverage on. And Salem in particular, a great array of documents on from a planning standpoint. And they're all current. I mean, it's all within the line.
Yeah.
Most everything. And that's, I've seen other cities where the last time the community development plan was published was updated might have been 10 or 15 years ago. That's not the case there. Compliment you certainly for not simply the website showcasing of them, but that your planning operations are current as well.
Something we've done fairly well in the last few years, too, is we've taken some of the things that normally you'd have to go dredging through a single website to find, and we've broken them out to other places.
Yeah.
With all the construction activity going on in Salem right now, we have the Building Salem website. That's done a really good job of keeping people informed on specific projects and actions that are going on. That's been a big asset. We have the Destination Salem website for our tourism and prospective residents and day trippers, and they use that. And then we have some shortcuts on the main website for prospective residents and prospective businesses. And we're trying to streamline that as a city still more, but we've made some pretty good efforts.
Salem, not something we discussed prior to this interview, but a thought comes to me, and I'll ask, is the Salem notorious, is the Halloween industry is just off the charts in terms of the number of people who show up there. Any integration of that into the election cycle that you see?
Halloween is not really a big critical part of the our election cycle. Some of the campaigns will do campaigning as part of it. Candidates will sometimes walk in our Halloween parade. But that's not a major, major factor. For the most part, I think residents in Salem are just, getting through the month and realizing that that's when a lot of our retailers make their money for the year.
Okay.
And we just, we batten down the hatches and wait until it blows over.
Great. Well, thank you. I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and certainly wish you the very best in your upcoming election.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Glad to be on. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.